Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Power of a Focused Life Session 2, Developing a Bible Action Plan. What I want to do in this series is I want to cast a vision for us about why it makes sense, why it's valuable to spend ourselves in an intentional way to focus our lives around the pursuit of God and the pursuit of even seeking God and spiritual disciplines to make our spiritual life the very focus of our life, and then to have everything else kind of built in. And what we want to do in tonight's session, the issue of the Word of God is of such importance that even though we're only doing three sessions, I'm going to spend the bulk of tonight just on the importance of why we want to give ourselves to the Word of God and have an intentional Bible action plan. And the thought process here is that I just want so badly through this series to help cast a vision for you of where you want to be in 20 years, 10 years, where you want to be in 10, 20, 30, where you want to be a little bit down the road in your spiritual walk with God. I'll tell you something that that I hope is stirring in you like it was stirring in me when I was 20. I had this deep ache in my heart when I would look around at some of those that I'd known that had been in the church and had known the Lord for a number of years, and were in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, and they had not grown much at all. While they had aged in their physical, how many birthdays they'd had, if you will, they had not matured spiritually. And I just thought, oh my gosh, I do not want to look back in 10 years and be no closer to God than I am now. I do not want to look back in a decade or two and have not matured in the things of the Lord, have not, you know, known the Word of God, not known how to hold my tongue, not known how to mature in God and become a maturing and matured Christian. I just do not want time to pass me by and for me to have any excuse at all that I had not matured. And I just think it takes that sort of an intentionality. It takes that sort of looking around and seeing that that's even a possibility to realize that that is actually the default. The default is that if we're not careful, time will elude us. That our efforts, our hours, our time, and even a decade or two will pass us by, and we will not be any closer to God just because we kept going to church for 10, 20 years. That doesn't, I mean, necessitate anything. And I just had this stirring in me when I was 20, you know, 18, 19, 20, that I wanted to know God. I wanted to be able to look back when I was 30, when I was 40, and I wanted to be able to see massive strides in my relationship with Jesus. I wanted to be able to look back and go, I have grown in the Lord. I wanted to be able to look back and say, the Word of God is my friend, and I have sweet fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I want to be able to grow in God and not just exist as a Christian. And so my hope here is to help you cast a vision for you about where you want to be in 10 years, 20, 30 years, getting a vision for where you're headed. And so this series on the power of a focused life is really the concept that there are going to be other things in your lives that aren't spiritual per se. I mean, you know, you wouldn't maybe call, you know, going to sleep spiritual. But you got to sleep. It's very important. You maybe wouldn't call a lot of different things spiritual, but really, our whole life is an act of worship to God if we order it right. But just because you exist as a Christian doesn't mean you're worshiping God every second. It's about intentionality with our life. And so while there's going to be lots of things that you may look at and go, well, man, I work because I have to. Okay, I get that. I understand. You might go, I sleep because I have to. I get that. I understand. What I want to do is I want to cast a vision for let's build our lives around spiritual pursuits, and then let's plug in the other things that we have to do. Instead of building our lives around the things we have to do, well, I have to have a job, I have to sleep. I have to do this. Instead, let's build our lives. Let's build a vision statement. Let's get our minds around the thought process of, I want to know God. I want to press in and know the living God. I want to have deep relationship. I want to be anointed. I want to walk with God. I want to have sweet fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I want to know the Bible. Let's set that as our life vision. And then, in this power of a focused life concept, let's figure out how we can schedule in all the other stuff that we have to do around our primary pursuit, Jesus. I think what's happened in our culture is we've gotten it completely flip-flopped and everybody celebrates it. I think the concept is, well, you got to have this, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to give your time to this, you got to do this, and then figure out a way to get a little religion in your life. And it's totally backwards. It's totally backwards from what God intended for us. We were designed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And yeah, you got to sleep to be able to pull that off. And yeah, you got to be able to make a little bit of money to pull that off. And yeah, you got to fulfill your responsibilities to pull it off. But you were not created for those responsibilities. You were created to know God, to be known by him, and to grow in that intimate relationship. That is the primary pursuit of man. And so this concept of a power of a focused life is about getting a life vision for where you want to be in 10 years, and then building your life around those things that you say you want to be about. So tonight, as we look at the Word of God and really develop a Bible action plan, and all I'm going to be able to do in a 45 minutes or whatever I got, is to be able to give you a little bit of a vision for it, you're going to have to go and do it yourself. We're going to spend the entire last session talking about scheduling. But tonight my hope is really just to sell us on the value of the Bible. I believe that the kindest thing that God could have done, second to giving us his son Jesus, was giving us the Word of God that is at our disposal, it's at our fingertips. It is the most precious physical item on the planet, in my opinion. The Bible. The fact that you can have access to the Word of God. John 1:1 tells us that Jesus is the incarnate Word of God. The words of God, the thoughts of God, the ideas, the character, the nature of God, the decrees of God came to earth in the man Jesus. And when Jesus went back up and ascended to heaven, we've been given both Old and New Covenant, the testimony of the man, Christ Jesus, the account of who God is, the living Word of God. And I just look at it and go, the most precious commodity on the planet is often neglected wholesale by those that claim the name of Jesus. We have Bibles, but they're dusty. We have Bibles, but we bring them to church instead of live out of them all week and then get a little salt and pepper on Sunday. We have Bibles, but do we know the man through the Word of God? We have the living Word. We have it at our disposal. But I think so often it's easier to just be fed, just be taught, just have someone give us a message, give us a word, just, you know, watch the online sermon or whatever, listen to the thing, instead of diving into the Word of God ourselves and developing a strategy where we could actually begin to know God through the Word of God. When I was 20, and again, I'm, 18, 19, 20, time period I got saved, I was stirred up. I was just stirred up. I was just something. I'm so glad. I am so glad God made me just a little bit ornery at 18, 19, 20. Because that ornery kept me in the hunt. And I worked out some of that as time went on. But I was just fixed on a few things. Just in a set way. As I was 18, 19, 20, I just decided I want to have a real prayer life. I do not want to go years into Christianity and not actually have a real prayer life with God. I decided in that time period, I actually wanted to fast. I actually wanted to be able to have fasting as a part of my lifestyle. I didn't want that to be something that I learned how to do when I was a mature Christian later on. I saw it in the Word of God. I wanted to go after it. I wanted to actually have fasting in my life. Same thing with the concept of giving. In 20 years old, I saw this value. I want to be somebody who spends my 20s giving away my money. I want to spend myself for the purpose and the sake and the ways of the kingdom. I want to give my money. And I just decided when I was 20, in that time period, I want to be an effective Bible teacher. At some point in my future, I want to be able to speak the word of God and have it make sense to people. Because man, at 20, shoot. I'd read the Bible and then I'd try to preach at you and you would leave more confused than when you came in. It was bad. I was double unanointed. Like you left with a gap instead of a surplus after I got done preaching. It took some time to get me where I could even talk straight. It took me a little bit of time, but I just had something in me. I was like, it's not okay with me. I'm just not okay with this. I don't want to be bankrupt forever. I don't want to not know how to fast. I don't want to not be able to make it through a fast. I don't want to not have a prayer life. I'm not okay with no prayer life. I don't want to not know the word of God. I don't want to not have the grace of giving. I'm just not okay with it. And at 20, I decided I want to have a focused pursuit of these things. And so, as I talked about in the last session, you got to put feet to the plan. So I started a daily prayer time. I started a weekly fasting routine. I started giving away money with a clear plan each month. I started teaching the Bible weekly to people that, Lord bless them, I'm just glad some of them are still saved. I mean, man, I just decided I'm going to teach the Bible weekly if it kills me because I wanted to be able to teach the Bible. I wanted to be able to pray. I wanted to be able to fast. I wanted to be able to give. I knew I was going to start off so broken at this stuff. I knew I was going to be horrible at it. But I wasn't okay with ending there. I wanted to make some ground. I wanted to take some ground. And so I made a plan. And what I want to do tonight is I want to provoke you into making a plan. Don't let 10 more years go by. Make a plan for where you're going to be in 10 years on these disciplines. Because these disciplines, it's not so you can brag. Who cares? Like, you meet somebody who can fast, like, poor soul, so you don't eat and you want me to be excited about that for you? There's no bragging rights in the spiritual disciplines. It's about the capacity, the on-ramps to know the living God. Because through these disciplines, we touch his heart and he touches us and he transforms us and we come alive. And we have passion and grace to be able to pursue him. The reason you want to have a vision for this stuff is so that you can go into the depths of the knowledge of God, that you can encounter him, you can feel his presence, you can walk with him, you can be a maturing Christian over the course of the time that you continue to seek him. So that in a decade, you can look back and go, oh, man, where I came from. And, oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the tenderness on my heart now. Thank you that when I open the Bible, it makes sense. Can I tell you what was the most frustrating thing to me at 20? I would read the Bible every day, and I didn't understand a lick of it for years. I would read it every day, and it was like I was reading like another language. It didn't make any sense to me. But you know what? That language analogy is perfect. Because if you put JC in a foreign country and you leave her there long enough, she will come back able to speak that language very clearly. Because she's learning and she's taking things in. But she will not be one lick of good trying to order you dinner the first day. I mean, you take her into that restaurant and they're speaking French, she's just going to look at him, probably laugh at him like, ha ha, funny man, saying weird things. But you give her a little bit of time in that culture and she'll get it. You know what? It's going to take you some time to get the language of the Bible. But there is a breaking point where you begin to get it and revelation starts to come and clarity in your spirit starts to come. And I want to cast a vision for you about focusing yourself on the word of God for the next decade of your life. If you haven't already, if that's not been a major pursuit, I don't mean it's been something you've dabbled in. I mean, if somebody came up to you and asked you, like, what is one of the biggest things you're doing in this season? I'm getting to know the Bible. I'm reading the Bible. I'm in it. I'm in the word of God. If that's not something you've been able to say for a good long season, I want to invite you into that for the next decade of your life. To give yourself in a focused way to know the word and allow the word to wash over you, to transform you, to awaken you, so that in the course of time, you'd know the word, that you'd be able to understand what the word of God says, you'd be able to open the Bible anywhere and have revelation come off the page instead of just words that You know there's revelation down under there somewhere. You just can't tap into it immediately. I want that for you. I'm jealous for you to have that because it's fun. It's so much joy. And I can tell you at the beginning of this journey for me, it was not a joy. It was a labor for me. The Bible was a labor. The Bible at the beginning of my journey was boring and tedious. And I didn't understand it. And I didn't like it. But I knew there was revelation in there if I just keep pressing through. And now the Bible is a joy, and there is revelation available. And I just want to cast this vision for you tonight about the necessity of you developing an action plan. Because that Bible will still be just as whatever, fill in the blank, whatever it is to you right now, in 5 years and in 10 years, if you don't do anything about it. The Word of God will not just start making sense because you get older as a Christian. The Word of God is something that you invest in, and then it invests so much back into you. But it takes some time and a little bit of energy. Well, not that you need it, but I'm going to sell you tonight. You've walked into a campaign where I'm selling you on the Word of God. So prepare in this seminar to give me all of your money and buy the Word. Here's Psalm 19, 9 through 11. This passage speaks to us about the endless benefits, the indescribable wealth of reward that the Word of God is to you as an individual. And so when I'm saying sell everything, you know, give me all your money, what I'm really saying is pour in all of your time and attention into the Word of God. Buy this most precious tool, and it doesn't cost money, it costs your time, which is even more valuable. Sell or give into the Word of God, invest into the Word of God time that you might be able to benefit these rewards. Look what the Word says. Psalm 19, 9 through 11. The decrees of the Lord are firm. It's talking about the Word of God. And all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them, your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. Knowing the Word of God and keeping the Word of God, there is great reward. There is immeasurable benefit to keeping the Word of God, but in order to keep it, you'd have to know it. You have to know what it says. You'd have to be able to perceive it. You'd have to be able to read it and be exposed to it so that you could interpret it, so that you could understand what is the Word saying? What does the Bible actually say? What is it that the Bible is speaking to us about our lives and about what the Lord wants? What is the Bible communicating about the character of God, the nature of God? And then if we will apply ourselves and keep those things, there is infinite reward. There is so much reward. I've seen this transformation in my life. I was an atheist, God-hating 18-year-old when I came to know the Lord. I barely graduated high school. I cheated my way through. I didn't do much better in college. I'm not a college graduate. I didn't have any background. I didn't have any training. I had a bad attitude. I was very selfish. I was just self-centered in every way. No education. I was living a godless life. I have seen the Word of God totally transform me over the course of time. And the reason I'm blaming the Word of God for my transformation and not just getting saved, I don't know about you. I've met a bunch of folks that came to know the Lord, and they still got a whole lot of issues going on in their life. There's some of them I kind of wonder if they really did meet the Lord. You know what I mean? You guys met any of them? You meet some folks that they came to know the Lord, and they can point to the day that they went down for the altar call or whatever, but just because they made that decision does not mean that they have matured, does not mean that they have undergone a transformation that you and I are able to see. But I look back on my life, and I see what the Word of God has done in me as it's washed me and transformed me and changed my thought processes. The Word of God has transformed me. And so I am just so grateful that as a 20-year-old, I had nobody told me anything better than Bible good, Brad, read. And I just started reading. I am so grateful that somehow as a 20-year-old, I accidentally stumbled into the best thing we could possibly do to a new believer. And that is convince them they're supposed to spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours reading the Bible. I am so glad that's what happened in my life because it's transformed me. I've watched it wash over me over these years. Give you some of the benefits. I told you you'll be rewarded. Let's talk a little bit about how. And I'm going to go through this part pretty quickly because I want to get to a couple aspects of the Bible action plan here. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5, and Proverbs 25, 2, both address this issue, talking about the hidden benefits, the treasures that are in the Word of God that are waiting to be dug up. I love this concept that God has made himself so hidden, yet he hid himself in a Bible and said, if you just read it, you'll find me. So the word, or the world is looking for the answers. The world is looking for God. The world is looking for love in all the wrong places. The world is out there pursuing all the wrong pursuits, and God has hidden himself, making it very, very difficult for the world to find him and to find all of his nuances and his ways and unearth the truths about who he is. But he's hidden himself in the Word of God, and he said, if you will dig in the Word of God, you will have revelation. You will find hidden nuggets of truth. You will find ways that transform your life. You will find things that benefit you immeasurably. And here's what it says. Solomon writes the book of Proverbs and describes wisdom, personifies wisdom. And wisdom really, the personification really is of Christ, is knowing Christ through the Word of God, paying attention to what the Lord says in the Word, living out according to the Word, paying attention to wisdom. Here's what it says. Accept my words and store up my commands within you. Store up the commands in the Word of God. Store them up in you. Turn your ear to wisdom. Apply your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and you will find the knowledge of God. There's a promise in your Bible that says it is possible for you, uneducated, barely able to read, cheated your way through high school, it is possible for you to find the knowledge of God, the most precious thing in all of creation. The knowledge of God, not just an introductory knowledge, but a continual growing revelation of the knowledge of God, of who he is, of what he wants, of how he thinks, about what our lives are supposed to be about according to his purposes. The knowledge of God is accessible to you, but it is hidden, and you must search for it as for hidden treasure. I just imagine the guy who's going out looking for hidden treasure. If he's serious, he makes a time investment. It's not, well, I found this map that my 2-year-old drew with a crayon, and I guess X marks the spot. I'll just go dig there. And once I dig there, I'm sure I'll find treasure and that'll be it. And he goes and he finds out that the map's really a map of his backyard, digs and doesn't find any treasure, and he's done. Well, he wasn't really serious. The serious treasure hunters spend a lifetime looking for those maps, looking for those buried treasures, finding those sunken ships, digging and looking and searching and plotting and looking again and digging again and looking and looking, and they find that treasure. And the promise in the Word of God is, if you'll search for it like that, you'll find it. Proverbs 25, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search it out is the glory of kings. Just think about this. God speaking of him hiding himself, him veiling himself. It is the glory of God. The glory of God is the mystery, the nature, the glory of God to conceal things, truths, revelation about life, aspects of his nature, gifts that he wants to give us. It's his glory to conceal them, but he gives an invitation. He says, oh, but those that will consider themselves like a king, to search it out, you'll find it. The Lord conceals things. He actually wants to be found, but he will not be found through an aimless pursuit. That's the word. This whole thing about a power of a focused life, you will not have what you want if you pursue it aimlessly. If you want to go after it, if you want to see these things develop in your life, if in 10 years you want to see a major transformation, you want to see a heart pursuing Jesus in a way that you never had before, you've got to pursue it, and an aimless pursuit won't get you there. It must be intentional. It must be purposeful. It must be a time invested. And the Lord's desire is actually that you would find him, that you would be able to search him out and find him. Well, a couple of verses, we'll go quickly. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. I just think about this crazy parable, how we've been invited into intimate fellowship. Pay attention. Intimate fellowship with Jesus through the Bible. This passage is so fun to meditate on, because here's what God's saying. John's writing it, but he's inspired by the Spirit to say it. Here's what he's saying. Jesus is the Bible, is God, is fellowship, is Jesus, is God, is Bible. I mean, it's like all these things are swirling together. He's saying that in the beginning was the Word. He should have been saying in the beginning, Jesus was with God, but he calls Jesus the Word. And he says, in the beginning was the Word. Well, what Word? The Bible. In the beginning was the Word of truth that God was going to give to mankind, both in the physical man of Jesus and then in the written Word of God, the Bible. In the beginning was that testimony. It was with God. It was God. It was the nature of God. He is God. And he came and dwelt among you, and then he lifted. But the testimony of who he is still here, because the Word of God is with us. We have the capacity to enter into intimate fellowship with Jesus through the Bible. What an incredible treasure that we have in the Word. 1 John 2:3-5 says this. We know that we have come to know God, know him, if we obey his commands. And the man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. Here's what John is saying. Saying that to have his love in us is maturing us. He says, if anyone obeys the word of God, and in order to obey the word, you'd have to know what the word says. I mean, I love all these gimme statements that are thrown out. Like, yeah, if you obey the word, well, then you know that you really love God, and God's love is truly in you, and it's being made complete in you. I don't know about you. I want to be made complete. I want to continue to become all the Brad that God intended for me to be. I want to be made complete in Christ. And he says there's a process that happens through obeying the word of God. Well, how would you obey the word of God if you didn't know what the word of God said? You couldn't. You'd have to know what the word of God said. It's an invitation to mature in love, to mature into the wholeness of who God has made us, that requires us to live out of the Bible and then apply its teachings. We could not obey the scripture if we did not know what the scripture said. And the invitation here is to enter into maturity, into completeness. Romans 12:2, to grow in the knowledge of his will. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Here's what Romans 12:2 is saying. This Bible verse is encouraging us, is allowing us to enter into how we can know the will of God. The Bible will give us the testimony of how we can actually enter into knowing God's will. You know, when I was 20, I remember thinking, I just want to know what God wants for my life. I just want to know the will of God. I just want to be able to see what God wants me to see. I want to know what God wants me to know. I want to be able to focus on what God wants. And that the purposes of the Lord, I wanted to understand what they were. And Romans 12:2 tells us that if we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that is reading the word of God and allowing it to wash over us, we'll be able to know what God's will is. We'll be able to gain clearer understanding. We'll be able to discern truth and error. Proverbs 17:24 and Proverbs 8:33. Proverbs 17:24 and Proverbs 8:33 talk about the ability to be able to discern truth and error, and that the discerning of truth and error has everything to do with paying attention to the word of wisdom, the word of God. Knowing the Bible, having the Bible written on our hearts, having the Word of God exposed to us on a regular basis, if we'll live out of the Word, we'll be able to discern truth and error. It says this, a discerning person keeps wisdom in view. Again, Proverbs, Solomon uses the entire book of Proverbs to call wisdom, to personify wisdom, really as the Word of God. The truths about who God is, whether written or spoken. He says, a discerning person will keep wisdom in view. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. I remember one day, when I was in my 20s, I would read through the book of Proverbs every month. I had, you know, other things that I would do in my Bible action plan, but I'd read through the Proverbs, whatever the day was. That was what I would read that day. It would be part of my Bible study time. And I can remember one day, I guess it was on the 8th of the month, because it was the 8th. It was on the 8th of the month, 1 month, or 1 year. And I was reading, and I saw this, and I realized, oh my gosh, this Bible verse is actually about the thing I'm doing at this very second. Like, that's actually really, really, really what it means. Like, it says, listen to my instruction and be wise. Well, whose instruction? God's. Well, how am I going to listen to it? You don't talk to me out loud very often. How could I listen to your instruction? The word of God. Oh, okay, I got it. Do not disregard it. Okay, I'm trying. I'm reading the word. I'm trying to understand it. What else? Blessed are those who listen to me. God, I'm trying to listen to you. I'm trying. Watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. What could this mean? Like, go to a church and stand in the doorway, and that's somehow like spiritual? That's not what God's talking about. How can I wait daily at the doorway of God? How can I watch? How can I listen daily? What can I do to posture myself? And I realized in that moment, this is what the Bible is actually talking about. It's talking about building in a Bible action plan where you're reading the Bible every day of your life till you die. That's actually what it's talking about. It's actually describing sitting in a heart posture before the word with a listening ear to say, God, speak to me. And when you don't hear him speak immediately, you read. And you ask him then to speak through the word of God, because it's not a book. It's somehow Christ in pages that can be copied. And that is the most crazy idea. It's almost as crazy as the Trinity. And it's real. It is the living word of God. It is alive and active. It is real. It is not a book. It is God in book form. And it is the way that he speaks to us, the primary way he speaks to us. You guys know I all believe in hearing the voice of the Lord and seeking after the prophetic, but the primary way that God speaks to humanity is through the word of God, if we will listen. And the word tells us that we are blessed if we watch daily at his doors, and if we wait daily in his doorway, if we're listening daily to his voice, postured out of reading and living out of the word of God. Well, I'm going to move on for the sake of time here. And I want to talk about a Bible action plan. I want to talk really about three approaches specifically. Now, you may have heard other approaches. You may use other approaches. Awesome. Do what works. I want to barrel things down to three ways that I would like to suggest that you consider investing time on a regular basis. Three approaches to the Bible. Three ways that you'll approach it. So it's not the same thing every time. And you figure out whether you want to do this, you know, all three of these each day, or some days you do this and some days you do that, and one day you do that. You figure all that out. You work all that out. I just want to suggest three approaches to the Word of God. And I want to tell you that each one of these has a different amazing impact on your heart and in your life in Christ. The three ways I want to suggest is reading the Word, meditating on the word, and studying the word. And all three of these are different. Different heart postures, different approach, different way that you spend your time, different way that you allow your brain and your heart to engage. And each one of these, I'll just tell you that there have been different seasons of my life where one of these was way, way sweeter to my soul than the other ones. And here's my suggestion. Don't break up a good thing. I mean, if that's how the Lord's speaking and moving and your heart is alive there, give the bulk of your attention there. I wouldn't neglect the other two. But if you were really feeling it, like, ooh, I like this studying thing. Ooh, I just love to read. I just want to meditate on the word all day long. Go with it. But I would suggest all three of these have great value. And you might want to look at how to get a bit of each of them in your diet in each season of life. So the first one I want to point out, reading the Word of God. The way I like to talk about this is that you approach the Bible as, just as I was talking about earlier, as a language that you don't yet know. And it's going to take you some time to get familiar with it. And I gave you the analogy of putting my daughter in a different culture with a different language. The longer she's there, the more interaction she has there, the faster she'll get that language. Or you would. I just know she learns a lot faster than me. So, you know, I'm amazed at how quickly she picks up stuff. How quickly you would pick up something has a whole lot to do with how much time you spend there. I don't mean hiding out in your room away from it. I mean being engaged in that culture to learn that language. The Lord has this crazy strategy. The Bible interprets itself. There are themes and shadows and types that are all throughout the Word of God, that it's the finger of God. It's the purpose of the Lord. It's the way He's concealed Himself. You read a passage and you've never read it before, and you're not familiar with the other places that talk about that same thing. You read it and it's a bit fuzzy. You just go, I don't really get it. You read it a couple more times, you may still not get it, because getting it actually comes from 17 chapters over or four books back. Getting it is actually hidden in the rest of the Word. There are interpretive keys that allow the Word of God to make sense. And so I just want to say this to you. If you haven't read the Bible cover to cover several times, I want to encourage you to do that. Here's why. Those passages that you want to skip over, those books that you don't want to read, there's interpretive keys you are missing that will make it impossible for you to understand other passages. Because the Lord wrote that stuff too. Chronicles, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Leviticus. I mean, these things, God wrote them. Just like He wrote 1 John. Like, the Lord wrote the Bible, and the Bible interprets itself. And the reason that I'm so big on this concept of reading the Bible through is because if you've never done that, there are all kinds of things God wanted to talk to you about. Until you've got a little bit of a foundation, the concept of study, you're not going to have access to quite as much as you would if you had a general understanding of the whole Bible. So I actually encourage people, save studying for a little bit down the road. Yeah, I mean, if you want to do it, do it. I'd say invest your time in reading first. Know the word. Get the language. Go to kindergarten first. Go to kindergarten and grade school before you jump into studying and research projects. I mean, get the Word of God written on your heart. And here's, you know, some people when they study, they like to get all the commentaries out. And they like to, you know, look, what does this guy have to say? What does this guy have to say? You can do that. I'll just tell you it's my series, so I'm going to tell you what I do. I don't have the patience for all that. And rather, I would really rather have what the Bible says about the subject. I would rather have that way more than what another person or three have to say about the subject. So here's what I do when I study. This is like study 101 for me. I think about a subject I'm interested in, and I go, yeah, cool. Then I get a piece of paper out or my laptop, and I go find all the Bible verses I can possibly find in a concordance. I'm looking, you know, through online, Bible Gateway, something. I'm using some concordance, and I'm finding all the Bible verses I can about that subject. I cross-reference a bunch of words that are related to that idea, and I write down all those Bible verses, and I get them all on a piece of paper, and that's how I get ready to study. Then I'll go look up every single one of those Bible verses, and I'll read them a couple of times. I'll read through all of them. So let's say it's 50 Bible verses. I'll read all 50. I'll read them maybe two or three times. This is still me getting ready to study. I'm not even studying yet. I'm just getting ready to study. I've now looked at all that I can find in my weak little ability. I've looked at all the Bible verses I can find on that subject. Now I'm ready to study. And now I'll start to ask myself, what are some themes that jumped out? What are some things I never thought about that jump out? What are some ways that God's speaking? What are some words that were repeated over and over that I didn't even know were even about that? I started to see what those themes are, and I go back and I look at them again. And then I pray a little bit about it, and I read a little bit more about it, and that's how I study the Bible. I just use the Bible to let the Bible interpret the Bible, because the Bible interprets the Bible. But you've got to have a little bit of a foundation. You got to let the Word of God interpret itself, and it is fun. And let me sell you now on study versus reading, study versus meditating. I think those two made a whole lot of sense. Here's why you want to study. The nuggets of the truths about who God is are hidden. And in order to interpret those nuggets, you've got to study a subject, see what the whole Bible has to say about that subject, and then these things begin to erupt about the character of God that you could have never seen by reading one or two or three Bible verses about the subject. There are areas, there are things that God wants to unearth. It's that searching for it is for hidden treasure. It's that digging for it. It's the looking for it is for silver. It's that wholehearted pursuit to understand the knowledge of God. I love to study the Word now. It used to be so boring to me. It was so far away from me. Now I love to study it because when I do, I see aspects of who God is jumping out of the Bible at me, and I go, this is the nature of God. This is the counsel of God. This is wisdom. This is how he wants us to live. This is what he wants us to pursue. These are the things that God delights in. And there are nuggets of the revelation of who he is that require study to dig up. And you can't get them at a casual read through. And there are things I think that the Lord won't even reveal just in a time of meditation, because there's so many components of the Word of God he wants you to look at all at once and go, oh my gosh, look at this picture I've never seen before. Here's what I want you guys to do. I want you to recognize you're busy. I recognize it. I'm looking across the room and I'm thinking about your schedules and moms, workers, missionaries. You're busy. I want you to look at your schedule, give yourself a little bit of grace, and make a plan. And I'll just say it this way. I would encourage you to make an aggressive Bible study action plan instead of a lightweight one. Make an aggressive Bible study action plan, and then let me go one more. Make an aggressive one, and then tame it down just a little. Instead of making a not aggressive one and trying to vamp it up a little bit, make an aggressive Bible study action plan and then tame it down a little. And here's the reason I say tame it down a little. Tame it down a little to make it actually possible. If you make it too aggressive, I'm going to spend 17 hours a day reading the Bible. Fail. Probably won't make that one land. I love you, but that's probably not real. So if 17 isn't real, then tame it down to figure out what is real. But make an aggressive plan to know the Word of God. And schedule the time. I'm looking back now. I'm 33. I was 18, and I'd never read the Bible before in my life. And by the time I was, 20, I was reading the Bible however many times a year. I started getting it written on my heart. I was teaching the Bible on a regular basis. I've seen the Word of God transform me, and I want that for you. I'm jealous for it for you. But it takes some significant time investment, and it won't happen unless you plan it.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.